Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen, the new year is the perfect time to move on from things that aren't working in your life. With Next Evo Natural CBD products, oil-based CBD can be one of them. Oil-based CBD doesn't mix well with our water-based bodies, so you absorb as low as 6% of the CBD on the label. Next Evo Naturals developed a clinically tested water-soluble form of CBD. And their gummies and capsules are proven to work faster and absorb four times better than oil-based products. Go to nextevo.com and use code SK for 25% off any orders or up to 60% off as new subscriber. Now, me and my husband, we use Next Evo. I use it as a de-stressor. He uses it as a sleep aid. And when I tell you, he is counting the sheep quickly with Next Evo. It's one of the only products that we've ever used that's actually helped him with getting good sleep. Try their strongest gummy ever, the new Extra Strength Daily Wellness CBD Gummies, which customers love, or try the all-time bestsellers, their Stress and Sleep CBD Complex products. Leave oil behind. Oh, yes, that's right. Leave oil behind. And start the new year with more effective, fast-acting CBD from Next Evo Naturals. Get 25% off any order or up to 60% off as a new subscriber by using code SK at nextevo.com. That's 25% off your order or up to 60% off a new subscription at nextevo.com with promo code SK.
SK. And 5, 4, 3, 2. What up, y'all? Welcome. Here's the thing. I'm Kev on stage. She's
the chick angel.
Welcome to another podcast episode. Smash that like button. Smash that notification button. Bangers, bangers, bangers. All 2024. Bangers, bangers, bangers. For three or more. Welcome back. Happy New Year, guys. Welcome back. We missed you guys. The moment we left, the world fell apart. As soon as we said we on break, all the stuff happened.
Days after.
Days after. So today, we're going to recap everything we missed, including Cat Williams.
Happened with Cat Williams?
Something happened with Cat Williams, believe it or not. TD Jakes, Holly's baby, William Murphy. William Murphy's New Year's Eve swag surfing church. Former friend of the pod. I don't know where we stand. Jonathan Majors.
Jam.
On Good Morning America. Oh, yes. And we'll just, I don't know if we'll get to more than that. Because them was enough for one episode each.
Enough for an episode and,
each. That could have been five. I said, y'all didn't wait till we didn't turn the cameras off and everything happened.
We about to get it cracking January 1st.
I said, every day when the new year started, it was like bombshell, 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 bombshell.
And Kevin was like, Vacation.
I said, man.
Yeah.
There's some weeks during the year where I'd be like, not a doggone thing happened. We'd be, you know, the bonus.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes the bonus is better than the main.
Oh, yeah.
Main is better than the bonus, which reminds me, join our Patreon for another episode a week. And also, here's the thing. Tour starts next month.
What?
Less than 30 days.
We start on in Toronto.
Toronto. Single me out.
Toronto.
Toronto. Y'all better get y'all act together because y'all done begged me.
Stop playing.
There's only three cities on this whole tour that are less than desirable right now as we stand, and y'all better get it together.
Yeah.
Three cities? I'm going to tell you. They're Toronto.
Toronto's not pulling up.
Tacoma. Oh,
it's cold.
Tacoma.
And Sacramento.
Tacoma.
Now.
That's the whole
sack
team.
Sack is being a sack.
And this, I told Melissa this. The further years go away from me living in Tacoma and all the military people move, it's just a city on the map. Now, listen. Toronto, Tacoma, Sacramento. Sacramento, y'all done did right, so I'm not really worried about y'all. Y'all just off to a slow start. Toronto, you could easily have been Charlotte.
Come on.
Or Austin.
Because it's about to be cold, Toronto.
Toronto, we coming up to Canada. We already got to play crazy flight tickets. Whoa. We getting paid in CAD. We got to pay each other in American dollars. Mm-hmm. You know the CAD ain't up to where the dollar is. We got a lot going against us, and y'all been hitting me. Mm. Y'all better ante up.
Ante up.
Tacoma, get it right. Because my agent was like, you should do Seattle. I was like, nah, man, Tacoma. And then Tacoma said, you should do Seattle. So Sacramento, we was trying to do Oakland. We was trying, but we could not find a venue that was the right fit on the right day. So they was like, we only could do Sacramento. It'll be Oakland next time. Because we always go to Sacramento, and I had never been worried. But the rest of y'all, you know what I'm saying? Everybody else doing pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Especially for as far out as we are.
Yeah.
Atlanta and D.C., we done sold stupid amount of tickets. L.A. will never be off again.
Really?
Yeah, L.A.'s done
it. L.A. pulled up. Early.
I was at the Mokomon meeting, right? And, you know, because there's like, we 200 deep. There's about 50-some women at my house. And I was like, at members' announcements, I was like, hey, me and Kev on stage, we're going on tour. I was like, listen to me now. Do not wait. One of my homegirls went right then. And then she said, do you all have any resale tickets? Because all of the front is gone.
Absolutely.
You just going to be seeing us from the side profile if you have not already gotten your ticket. Still be
We're
funny.
We're going to have an overflow in the parking lot. We'll have a projector.
Absolutely.
Up. Yeah.
So, all right. So that's that. Any announcements you got to make, Angel?
I'm going on tour with my good friend Kev on stage in February. Come see us.
And we pulling up in the cold, y'all. We packing jackets and double draws,
I'm
long johns.
I'm already in pain thinking about how cold it's
Toronto,
about to be.
Toronto is one of the coldest times
there
I've ever
be,
felt in my life.
There might be snow in Toronto.
Absolutely.
I bet.
It hurt my body. Isaiah spilled hot chocolate on his jacket. This is a true story.
I believe you.
And it spilled and froze.
I believe
it. And never
it.
Even got to the bottom. So
I am already just so, I'm going to have Vaseline for my face is what
yeah,
I'm
you
realizing.
Got to do it.
I can't. But you yeah, excited. It. What are we talking about, Kevin?
All right, we're starting off with Cat Williams. Now, Cat Williams, Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay podcast, which real quick, very funny thing about Club Shay Shay. I've been watching Club Shay Shay and clips of it since it came out because I like Shannon Sharp. But Cat Williams' interview brought that podcast to a larger audience.
Yeah, it's got like over 20 million views already.
Which is, that's old school viral.
Yeah.
Right? 20 million views on the original YouTube video when everybody was ripping clips for Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter everywhere for the original to still have 20 million. The reason I think it was because it was so incendiary, the whole podcast, but also it was 2 hours and 46 minutes. You couldn't even possibly clip everything he said.
Yeah.
And it didn't get boring towards the end. Like, you just had to go to the YouTube video to watch it.
Yeah.
You just had to, right? A lot of people finding out that his podcast is called Club Shay Shay and being like, what is this grown man and what a podcast called Club Shay Shay?
Why is it called that, Shannon?
And there's this old meme that goes about like, who's the messiest person you know? It's a man, ain't it? And Kat and Shannon really played into that.
Oh, yeah.
That trope of men being the biggest gossipers on
the planet. So many times that Shannon Sharp's, both of his feet came off the ground. That's when you know, a nigga's being messy when he goes... That is prime messiness, and that happened multiple times.
So there's so much to discuss, but let's just see. What were your first thoughts when you watched it?
This is way too long. That's the first thing.
Is it longer than The Color Purple?
Longer than The Color Purple, longer than The Star Wars, longer than Shawshank. Like, there's so many movies that I could have watched. I was like, this is really long. And then also, I felt like... who are we talking about? Mike? No, Cat.
His name Micah.
I was thinking Money Mike. That's what I was about to do.
Oh. Money Michael.
Money Michael. Cat Williams is the type of petty that people aspire to be. It's like Arya Starks when she had all the names written down.
Look at you adding an S where one don't belong. That's super black.
It's Stark.
It's just Stark.
She be Starks, though.
She be Starks. JCPenney's, Nordstrom's, Costco's. We gonna add that S when we want to.
Once she got naked, that S came on
S came on there. Capital.
Yeah, capital X. I was like, S. Anyways, it's like what we aspire to be when people do us wrong. It's like when you say... they will pay.
Yes.
That is what I felt like. He was like, I've got my list of people. I won't forget no one. There is no one who's done me wrong that won't feel this pain and heat.
1,000%. My first thoughts were this.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
Kat had something on his heart. Shannon, the first 15, 20 minutes of the interview, Shannon hadn't even asked him a question.
No, not at all.
He didn't even, hey, how you doing? Mm-mm. We got Kat Williams from the Dark Matter Tour. Ricky Smiley ain't even funny. He never been funny. What you mean I stole a role from him?
What?
I ain't never stole a role from him. And Cedric this, and Steve that. And I mean, it was like, bro, I didn't even ask you nothing yet. No, it didn't matter what you asked him or didn't ask him. What's the time? Ricky Smiley ain't funny.
Right? It was, that's what time I'm saying.
That's what I'm telling you is Ricky Smiley ain't funny.
It reminded me of our interview with Keith.
Keith.
We were like, tell us about your life. And then sat there for 2 hours.
Let me get to that. And then I was 6 and a half.
I was like, oh, perfect. You just go. You know how to talk.
I'm telling you, right? So here's what I've deduced because, like, first I want to say this reminds me of, like, when Birdman walked out of the Breakfast Club, when Ray J was on the Breakfast Club, it kind of felt like such a big, you don't get virality this big on YouTube alone anymore because every platform has native.
Yeah.
Video.
Yeah.
I forgot about TikTok. Like, so people very rarely go back and watch the source video and they rarely watch a lot of it. Mm-hmm. What Kat did was say things out loud and name names in a way I have not seen done in a long time.
Yeah.
Right? When he said he had protected his virgin hole, because he said they'd be wanting the booty. And I had to it was almost like Rick James. Yes, he's like, he didn't turn down $50 million. He said he didn't turn down $50 million. Nobody ever turned down $50 million. Right. Now I turned $50 million down 4 times to protect that virgin hoe because Diddy be wanting the party. And you got to tell him no. You got to tell him no. When I tell you I paused and rewound that scene, so you got to tell him no.
You got to tell him no.
And because like, he called out Michael Blackson as well.
Oh, he called out everybody.
He called out. And the thing that's crazy about the Kat interview, there's so many things I want to say.
Yes. And
usually OGs, they talk down about younger comedians. Kat talked down about his class and praised younger comedians.
Yeah.
He was like, the young ones, they're all great. Everybody.
This nigga my age and that nigga my age and that nigga as well. Ain't shit.
Yeah, literally, right? So I think one thing people don't understand is that every industry, people don't like each other. I think the thing that I feel, can't speak for Kat, but from what I understand, there's kind of like an unspoken rule amongst comedians, unwritten rule. You don't really talk negatively about other people in your class publicly.
Yeah, because like I know that's how you feel, definitely.
Yes, in your group of comics, I'm like, this nigga ain't funny. This nigga cool, whatever. Like, that's common.
Yeah.
But I would never go on a podcast and be like, X, Y, Z comedian just ain't funny to me. First of all, comedy is subjective.
Absolutely.
So anybody who's working hard enough to build an audience and has built an audience of people who want to come and see them, more power to you. I don't care if you're doing puppets, prop comedy, whatever, music bits, a lot of stuff that's looked down. I don't care because getting up on that stage is hard. Getting people to pay their hard-earned money is hard.
Yeah.
Do you. That doesn't have to mean I like
also
your comedy.
Now more than ever, there's an audience for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like people don't like Carrot Top because he does prop comedy. I find it funny. Mm-hmm. People don't like Jeff Dunham.
Yeah, the
little puppet dude. Mm-hmm. I had a $20 ticket to Vegas when $20 was all I had. I had the time of my life. I couldn't believe he had a $100 million contract. It was like $150.
What?
Yes, $150 for 10 million for 10 years.
Look at your face.
See, now it was funny until he got that $100 million.
Yeah.
Had a theater built in his name with the Mirage because he had won a competition. But hey, to each his own.
I think now also because we, to credit the comedians of today and not to discredit the ones of the past, we know now that people are building their own audience. There's nobody has to push your brand. Like before you waited for a network to decide you were funny enough for them to put money behind. Now people are building this stuff via social media. But I will say, I will say this about Lil Messy Boots is that what I feel like people who have watched it, because I've also been reading the comments, we still live in a time where people believe that something has to either be the 100% the truth or something is 100% false.
Say what you're saying, because what you're saying is what I wanted to say.
And I feel like we got a nice gumbo of truth, a nice gumbo of perceived reality, mm-hmm. and some lies.
Flat out lies. Flat out. And I think the thing that Kat does well, he tells them all with the same energy.
Oh, yeah. The tone doesn't change. There is no tell on his face. You know, I read 3,000 books from the age 8 to 12 every year. Every year. Not fiction. All nonfiction. I got out my calculator because I said, I'm not trying to call this man like that he's not intelligent. He could literally be a genius. That is almost 9 books a day.
I literally pulled out my, I said, it's no less than 8.
Yeah, it's no less than eight.
Listen, I'm not going to math.
It's definitely 8 points.
The nearest 10th up.
A day.
Yes.
And he implied that it wasn't the same book, because technically you could read a book 8 times if it's like dog go see, dog go run, dog is crazy,
but
dog have fun.
That's fiction.
But that's fiction.
It's nonfiction. So I'm like, is it a recipe book?
What are you, first of all, the amount of time it would take to do that for 1 year. Much less every year.
I was like, he didn't eat. There's nothing. Maybe that's why he's so small.
Amanda said he was reading them little golden books.
Listen, he was reading them books, them pamphlets that the people used to give out to tell you were going to hell.
Them tracks?
Yes, the tracks. Exactly. That's what he was reading, was them tracks. Again, I think Cat Williams is absolutely funny. I thought the interview was riveting. Little on the long end.
It wasn't long enough for me.
Oh, you wanted it to be...
What, part two?
I tuned out like at least 3 different times.
I definitely phased out.
Yeah, I was like, we're back. He's still talking.
Who?
Huh? There's somebody else? You live with prostitutes? Okay, good to know. All right. Parts that just made me outright just go, what is you... When he basically called Shannon Sharp ugly to his face.
Shannon did not catch it at all.
You know when you're around somebody who's really smart and someone you find out isn't as smart is when somebody who is really smart and quit on their feet can say anything about that other person, and they literally,
I'm talking about you. I'm looking, he looking right at you,
he
with
said,
glasses on.
They try to tell us Jonathan Majors is fine. Since when has a nigga with a wide nose with civil rights features face been considered sexy?
And Shannon was like, he said, if he fine, all niggas are.
Shannon was like,
you crazy cat. I mean, the joke was right here, then it went. They say that comedians are some of the smartest people in the world.
Uh-huh.
First of all, the reason Kat's interview was so entertaining, he's legendary status comedian. That you cannot take away from him. Mm-hmm. He is brilliant at the craft. Mm-hmm. He told Michael Jackson jokes while Michael was alive.
Mm-hmm.
He told Iraq, I'm talking about Pimp Chronicles, my favorite Kat special. Mm-hmm. His joke where he spoke truth to power, which a lot of comedians very rarely do. I don't do it often. He talked about the Iraq war. And he was like, we not killing their army. We killing them. I ain't never met no insurge. I have no insurge. And he was talking about how the media and the government helps desensitize you by giving you a word for people. Like, we're not killing Iraqi military. Mm-hmm. We're killing insurgents. You killing Fred,
right?
Roderick,
right?
You killing Roderick Jones over there? He got a jersey and a Liverpool. He got a Liverpool jersey and sweats. This man didn't join the military. He's
like,
fighting from his house.
Insurgent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then. All right. Then.
That was a great joke, but like, I think that's why Shannon was just like, Shannon was us. He was just watching the interview from the first seat.
It was nice to see Shannon get things 3 seconds after. When he said, you a fat Faison lie. And when I told him that he couldn't, Shannon was like, wait a second now, dang it. How did Faison get a stray bullet? I was like, we're already on to the next person he's talking about. And the next thing I'm talking about is getting started with your resolutions with Factor. So you're ready for the new year. Factor is ready to eat meal delivery, takes the stress out of meal planning, and sets you up for success in the new year. Skip trips to the grocery store, prep work, and cooking fatigue. Instead, get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door with over 35 meals to choose from per week, including options like keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and more. Plus, over 55 weekly add-ons. You'll have a ton of nutritious and flavorful options to kick start your resolutions. Forget frantic lunch prep and rush dinners. Factor's 2-minute meals are your secret weapon for the new year. Fuel up fast with restaurant quality meals all delivered right to your doorstep. Factor's now offers loads of snack options like breakfast smoothies, juices, snacks, and more to keep you going no matter what's on your schedule. Okay. There's so many things I could tell you about Factor, but we're not going to tell you all the things because we want you to give them a try, okay? Because when things get hectic, Factor is flexible. Change your order up every week with plans from 4 to 18 meals per week, or pause or reschedule your delivery anytime. Stress less over meal times in the new year, all right? Now, what I want to say about this company is that this is what I plan on using while we are on tour, because when I get home from traveling, the last thing I want to do is cook. Mm-hmm. However, I also don't want to be the size of this table that I am sitting at. So the fact that I can have something that's already prepared, that I don't have to sit there and try to chop up stuff, trying to measure out things, I can just... have my meal already prepared, and also know that it's going to be delicious because this is gourmet. You understand me? And all the little add-ons are also great because I love a little smoothie every now and again. So this is what we want you to do. Hit a factormeals.com/SK50.
SK50.
And use code SK50.
SK50.
To get 50% off. That's code SK50.
SK50.
At factormeals.com/SK50.
SK50.
To get 50% off. We thank Factor Meals for sponsoring today's podcast.
All right. So one thing I also want to say, I think people misunderstand that every industry, there's competition, right? Comedians, preachers, regular corporate America, athletes. Like when I was in the ministry, there's beef like Cat was talking about against preachers. Nigga can't preach like I've been in the rooms, heard people say, not nigga, but he don't preach like me. Look how many souls were saved. 44 by my church. We grew 2,000 in the last.
Such a shame.
It was great. I was drinking the juice. And I was like, this is how y'all talk in the locker room? He over here and how he got Friday night at the convention? And they got me on Thursday? That's my crazy. Church grew to 2 times his church. My keyboard player played for Missy. I got niggas on tour with Justin Timberlake, and he got preached for, Friday night prime. That's prime real estate.
Oh, yeah.
He got Friday night. That boy came. I had him laid out. the Holy Spirit really moved through me. It only moved through him like it that. I don't move. Know how they got him out here.
It's constipated in
here. I want preachers to be like, bro, Stephen Furtick, I could preach Furtick under a rug.
Oh, I would love if preachers talk crap over the mic.
Yes, they do. They just don't do it loud.
No, I'm saying I want them to do it over the mic like Cat.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
I would actually probably go back. The church more often.
Souls saved as a measure of your success is wild to hear.
Well, that's what Kat was like. I would count how many laughs you got if you had a 20-minute set and you got 6 laughs and I got 16, I'm funny.
He did the math, laughs per minute per 10 minutes. I qualitatively can prove I am funnier than you.
Yeah.
I said, now that's a student of comedy. You really think about it. Now, a lot of people were like, is what Kat telling, is it bad for comedy? Listen, actually two things. Let me back up. I want to say this part. Here's what, because I was talking to Tony about this. Obviously, comics, the group chats have been on fire. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of mixed emotions about what he did was wrong or right. And to your earlier point about there's the truth, there's lies, and there's exaggeration of both, and there's some gray area. Mm-hmm. So Kat Williams did a lot of things, right? One, he responded to perceived shots at him from Cedric, from Ricky Smiley, and he answered those, okay? Then he took shots at people who had not said anything about him.
Yeah.
Right? Kevin Hart, Michael Blackson, Steve Harvey didn't sit on Shannon's couch and say anything about Kat, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing about it. And I've been watching Kat for a long time. I don't know if y'all remember, about 10 years ago, right? Kat used to throw shots at Kevin Hart all the time.
He was like, $1 million on your stage. I'm doing Angel. My special in your city.
Angel, I'm going to play that video.
We'll put a basketball court, a boxing ring, or maybe two mics, and we go joke for joke. $1 million each.
For real, here it is, Kevin.
This is funny.
I got a show at your hometown in Philly. I'm going to take my special there. On that stage, we can put whatever you want. A full court basket.
Hold on, let me preface this, because a lot of people in the comments are saying Kevin Hart shot at him on The Breakfast Club. That was in retaliation
to this.
To Kat. Trust me on this. Kat Williams shot at Kevin Hart long time before Kevin Hart ever responded. Before, and he also had Tiffany Haddish at his side because Kat was throwing shots at Tiffany Haddish.
Right.
Trust me when I say that was a response to Kat calling Kevin out. First, trust me.
Play. If you do it for real, here it is, Kevin. I got a show at your hometown in Philly. I'm going to take my special there. On that stage, we can put whatever you want. A full court basketball court, a boxing ring, two microphones for a rap cypher. Or you can get your ass dusted in comedy on that stage. But it's $1 million up for each one. That's $5 million, Mr. 28 million in Forbes. I'll be bringing mine in cash, Mitch. Bring yours however you want. And since you're not
this
a
my
puppet,
favorite part,
don't
Angel.
Bring no white people with you then.
Angel.
That's a $5 million bet individually.
You can part take and it parcel. All,
or you can take it part and parcel.
Part and parcel
this
in a rap
the
beef?
New movement.
Break the heart, Angel.
Tell them plastic cup boys, we make enough money to drink out of real glassware.
We make enough money to drink out of real glassware. Kevin Hart, I can't take
the last 15, he put a heart up because Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
He broke it.
We drink enough. We make enough money to drink out of real glassware.
That was terrible. Why would comedians play basketball? Don't. Box, rap,
don't know.
And you can you a comedy is subjective. The other thing that Kat said we haven't touched on.
Come on, let's
his 40 time, nigga.
It was I can run at 4.4 if I am in if it, like because what I saw was in a high school basketball court.
Angel, that's not Angel, that. But the video though.
It was so fun. First of all jokes aside. Very fast for a 52-year-old man.
Oh, absolutely.
But the dude who just pulled the top, look at that, 447. This is not official. I don't know the parameters of a basketball court, but I don't know if that was a legit 40-yard dash.
You were doing it wrong.
They did a cut.
You
and
got to run with your shirt off. There's too much lag.
It was definitely, no one will deny that Kat is fast. I don't know what you know, good for him, but that wasn't a 40 yard.
He was
he's fast, but I was like, wait guys, what
and the video started when he was already running. He was already a third of the way down
the timer. He had a head start.
Hold on, I'm looking up how many yards is a basketball.
And it was a high school. It was not an NBA.
A basketball court dimension in yards length is 30 yards.
Yes.
If you ran the whole thing.
It's still 9 short.
Do you know 40 yards is from the end zone to the 40-yard line of a football field?
Yes.
Running a portion of a basketball gym. Once I saw that, I said, all right, okay. This has gone on long enough.
I was just like, Kat no,
is
come on.
Running.
Just leave me.
At 2 a.m. in Memphis?
He was running like Grandpa on a...
On Get Out.
Yes.
Yes. It was ridiculous. Whether he's fast or not, it's ridiculous.
I just, there was like, again, that was the part of the, no, the part that I thought was the most ridiculous. While all the rest, I was just like, you know what, go ahead and talk your stuff, Kat. Get it off your chest. This is the therapy. This is what you need to get it off your chest. When he was like, the reason why me and Kevin Hart ain't been in the same building in 25 years is because I look bigger in person. I look bigger. And I was like, okay, now you're just telling flat out lies. No one has ever said, you know, the camera actually makes me look way smaller. In person, I'm huge. In person, I am actually
bigger in person.
No other celebrity
would believe.
No other celebrity has ever said Cat Williams is actually a lot taller than he looks.
That was when I said, "Okay, sir." I said, "Okay, so now you're letting me know that I can't trust everything you said." As soon as he said that, I was like, "I'm out," because now you're just talking. I was like, "Is the drink getting good to him? Because what is he talking about?"
First of all, it was more. And here's the thing that's interesting: like you were saying earlier, people believe everything or nothing.
Yeah,
the internet lives in black and white, and the world is really truly gray. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff that's like there's no way you could prove that. But him or the person, like the conversation with Michael Blackson, I told him to open a school. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But saying it after Michael Blackson opened a school, well, now I was like, he opened a school. Yeah, but there's no proof that Kat and him had this conversation. But there's no proof that they did it.
I put in my contract that Ricky Smiley had to be in a dress if I ever did a movie with him again.
And what was the next movie? And what was he doing? Okay, first of all, you can't put in your contract what somebody else has to do because that's only enforceable if they do it.
Right.
You can put that I won't work with somebody. Mm-hmm. But you can't say Angel has to wear pants. If Angel doesn't agree, let me say this. It also has to be in their contract.
Yes.
Because Angel can't put anything in my contract that I don't agree to.
Correct.
Because who is going to enforce it?
Correct.
But if we just happen to be in the movie, you had a dress, I can say that.
Yes.
And I could be like, and then people on the internet are like.
See, boom.
Well.
Boom.
And that's the thing about it and I told Tony this, because Tony be getting pissed off with every day he ages. His grumpiness grows. He's always been a grumpy grumper. He's been a curmudgeon probably since he was -6 months. Mm-hmm. About 3 months, first trimester, he was like, this doggone amniotic fluid is too cold.
It's because he's 35% German. I said, they seem a little bit over there. That's why their words sound like that. Sauerkraut. They're very.
Well, what I told him is the internet struggles with mutual truths and mutual lies. Mm-hmm. Two things could be true. Like you said, Kat could be telling that 100% God's honest truth about some things, the truth that's exaggerated about others,
yes.
Lies that are almost true, yes. Completely fabricated lies, and some stuff that only him and the person could know is true. But if he says it all the same, and what he clicked on, especially about Hollywood, people want to believe something, mm-hmm. They'll then believe that's true. Yes. If I think this is how Hollywood works, Kat says it, it must be true because I always thought that. That does not make something true. Just because you thought that, right? I'm going to give you a perfect example about my life. I made a video about Patreon a couple months ago telling people the podcast industry is struggling. Many people have said that. If we want to keep this going, we're going to have to increase the Patreon. You know what the narrative I see about myself on the internet is? Kev was on here begging his fans for money.
Bet you he's not as fast as Cat Williams.
I would race Cat right now. Don't think that my sons beat me. That Cat would be, he'd line it up. We could do a million. Well, we can't do a million. $100 for basketball. I will post Cat up on the basketball court.
Well,
give me the ball, Josh.
It's closer
to Cat Williams now, Angel.
Oh, of course.
I'm posting Cat up.
Come on, nigga.
For $100, we can
you
post. Give me the ball, Josh. Give me the ball in the post. Give it to me here. Oh, got it right back. Oh! And I dunk with the left.
Nigga.
And I dunk with the left. And I dunk with the left. But I don't have 1 million to
but
bet.
But I have on nails and heels.
But anyway, here's the last thing I want to say. Shoot it, Angel. Rebound, tip dunk.
And the crowd goes wild. Okay, what was
people
the
were getting mad at Kat. I'm sorry. People for responding to Kat.
They said, there was a couple things. Ain't nobody called him a liar, so what he said must have been the truth. And oh, he done got everybody out. People talking must be the truth. That nigga ain't said nothing, see, because it's the truth.
You can't win. He can't. If you don't respond, right, he's telling the truth. If you respond, they're like, and now Luda's rapping. Luda is a rapper.
Yeah, I think they forgot that.
Luda, what are he going to do? A stand-up comedy response?
Def Jam South was ludicrous.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I would have been mad about is that if I were their wife and you let that little nigga go in there and call me a weird-faced, light-skinned woman, that don't, you better say something and be like, my wife is not weird-faced.
I didn't even know what he was talking about then.
I was like, why did the wives get
they
shot?
Was just sitting at home like, now why am I in
kids,
it?
Getting pedicures.
Why am I in it?
What did I do to you, Kate?
I've never been prouder to have a brown-faced, regular-faced interviewing wife. Come on. I said, listen, missed all this. She was like, brown face. Not weird face. Does interviews.
And he used to date Hazel, who
I saw that.
And I was like, she talks, but you could put her. She talks. She does talk.
She talks.
But you could easily, not to say this young lady isn't pretty, but she could easily fall in the category with all the rest of the light skin.
Weird face is just a mean. Yeah, light skin, weird face. Not the non-doing interview thing is what made me laugh, though.
Because he looked for the smallest nuance of similarity between all the women.
Like, and I was like, they don't do interview? But I didn't know who he was shooting at. I don't have a, like, encyclopedia of what niggas' wives look like. But then I saw the pictures floating, and I was like,
"Well, somebody put that. They put Ricky Smiley with Lisa Wu." I said, "They
are they
not,
married?
No, that's what they I just did. Were putting. They said there's a him with a light skinned woman." I automatically thought of Marjorie, even though I think she's absolutely stunning. But I was like,
"She don't do interviews."
That's where I.
A lot of them got 2 out of 3. They might not all be light, weird face, non interview, but he found a through line.
I'm gonna tell you, if my man made as much money as a Steve Harvey, I'm not talking to nobody either.
For what? Why for y'all could make more rumors up about me?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Milan, okay?
Right.
I'm going to get some clothes, and then I'm going to live my best life and not talk to you.
Yes.
So, Kat, he had a stellar year. I know this is going to do well for his tour. No, the petty of the petty.
I know.
Oh, man.
I said.
I'm impressed.
And this my, wow. This my friend.
When is that I saw real? Is it real?
That she doing the show?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Is it real?
I think it is. She posted it. I could do nothing but laugh.
If y'all don't know what Angel's saying, I feel this was last night.
Yes, it was.
Tori Hart posted that she's going to be on the Dark Matter tour for at least 3 dates.
Yeah,
I remember. Tori Hart is Kevin Hart's ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Who has been doing stand-up for... When I first moved here, she was doing stand-up. Yeah, she's taking some breaks, but she's pretty consistently done stand-up.
Sure. She started right after me. So I want to say if I was doing it for 14, 12.
Yeah. And this is the other thing. I could admit, I could feel like you could think something's entertaining and also wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? When he called out Ricky Smiley, he was like, and his son just passed away and he doing this. I said, nah, why? You did? That was unnecessary.
Really
and as
was.
A person who just lost somebody, I was like, nah, I got to stop laughing.
Yeah.
Because I make fun of my own self and my brotherly, but I'm not going to laugh at that. And the light skinned, weird face comment, although I do joke about that because my wife is safe. I was like, now they not, why they in the line of fire? Like, even the mob cartel, sometimes they got rules, like some things are off limits.
Yeah.
Talk about your comedy, talk about, and this is the thing, the comedians, they beef about everything. First it's I'm funnier than you. If you, it ain't that, then it goes to I sell more tickets than you. Then it goes to you're in TV, I'm in TV and movies and you're not. Like there's plenty of debatable things.
Mm-hmm.
But who you're married to and whether or not they do interviews or not, that seems irrelevant, and them people is they collateral damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I was unfortunately entertained by a lot of it.
Listen,
I'm no better.
Listen, while I'm not going to sit here and be like I watch all of Kat's stand up, I don't. He's actually not probably one of my favorite stand up comedians.
Angel thinks Kat Williams ain't funny.
I didn't say that.
That's how the internet works.
That's exactly how they're going to say. I enjoy him in movies probably more than I do
brilliant
his stand up. Yeah, I really,
I need to watch that Atlanta episode everybody keeps talking about.
Yeah,
Alligator Man or something.
He was great. Like I enjoy him in scripted work a lot. But what no one can deny is that he is a very entertaining person. He can make any situation extremely entertaining. But I did too think when he said, how you gonna lose your son and then come up here and tell lies? I was like, now come on now, sir.
Now that's too far.
And it was not like Ricky Smiley said something that was so egregious that it had to take that like type of
focus on the movie thing,
right?
Focus on his and take all those shots.
I was,
but
like,
that was like, now that was completely unnecessary, too far, and that was unnecessary.
It was very much so. I was like, dealing with death, I hope that people are ready for it and have policy genius, because listen, it's coming for all of us. We don't know the time nor the hour. So why don't you just be ready and have your affairs in order by making sure you have life insurance. Start the new year knowing you found the right life insurance to protect your family with Policy Genius. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind for the rest of 2024 and beyond. So if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Luckily, Policy Genius helps you compare your options from top companies, and their team of licensed experts is on hand to help you and talk you through it. I used Policy Genius, so did my husband, and so did my mother. We used it because trying to find life insurance can be a very anxious task. You don't know who to trust. You don't know if you're getting what you need. And the fact that their experts are working for you and not the insurance companies, so they're actually telling you, okay, what about this? If this is how much you make, this is what we would recommend. Now, you could go against those recommendations or you can lean into them, but they're not there to try to force you to do anything. They want you to find the right option that makes you feel the most safe and makes you feel like you really have taken care of your family. Policy Genius technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Save time and money and give your family a financial safety net with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how you could save. That's policygenius.com. And let me tell you about OneSkin. Okay, when I think of taking care of my skin and doing it in a very luxurious way, I think of OneSkin. To support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. We all know New Year's is synonymous with big health resolutions, but you know what I'm keeping as is in 2024? My skin's biological age. Biological age? What does that mean? It's basically how old your skin acts and looks, which can be different from your actual age. See, their products are powered by a scientifically proven peptide called OS1 that targets lines and wrinkles right away, right where they start, your cells. This isn't just another skincare routine. It's a real science breakthrough. In fact, OS1 is the first of its kind to actually turn back the clock instead of just masking the signs of aging. With their full line of face, eye, body, sun, and travel size products, OneSkin doesn't only promise healthier skin, they prove it, and I'm all in. For a limited time, my listeners can get exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code SK.
SK.
When you check out at oneskin.co. Start 2024 off right and give your skin the scientifically proven love it deserves with OneSkin. First of all, I do love, let's just start off with how it looks, okay? And then I'll tell you about how it works. The packaging is just so beautiful. It's sleek. It makes you feel like whatever I'm about to do with this stuff, it's about to be amazing. It's a beautiful white packaging with black lettering. And then the actual product, the feel of it is so nice. It's something that you actually want to feel on your skin. And it's actually really simple to add to your skincare routine. And it's probably going to be one of the most beneficial things, in my opinion, that you actually add in 2024 to your skin. I really do like it. We would love for you all to try it. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code SK at oneskin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin. Excuse me, I'm going to say it slower. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code SK.
SK.
After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. New year, healthier skin. That's OneSkin.
All right. Now, here's the next thing that was humongous. Probably the next biggest thing was after Cat. T.D. Jakes.
Oh, we're finally going back.
Finally going back. T.D. Jakes this probably happened. I feel like the moment we turned our cars on and left the studio, this dropped. Now, TD Jakes was accused of all kinds of stuff.
Being a power bottom was one of the things, that was said.
All from a TikTok
video.
Video person saying allegedly every three words, referencing audio from some other person.
That I don't think we ever got to hear.
We never got to hear.
I mean, we never got to pair the person's face with the audio to figure out who it was, the person, if this person was credible.
And right, so I'm gonna say something real quick. A couple things. One, you can only see the world through your eyes. What I feel like was dangerous is dangerous. And I'm not saying TD Jakes or anybody has a possibility to do anything. I don't know TD Jakes. I've literally never met him at all. But I know some of his family members very well. And of course, what I'm going to say is framed with who I know, the community I live in, who my friends are, right? It is very dangerous for rumors that are not, I mean, I'm talking about, this wasn't even the person said this happened to me. This was somebody saying this person said this happened. And as long as I say allegedly, this happened. But for that thing to go as wild, wildfirely viral without any proof, credibility, I was like, this is crazy. Because, I mean, we've been, me and Angel, plus 40.
Mm-hmm. Big four. We in our fours.
When we were young, I used to hear this thing that a lie get halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its shoes on. Mm-hmm. I said, man, this is crazy, because in previous things like this, it's always at least a person claiming that it happened to them.
Nobody claimed it happened to them.
Nobody claimed that it happened to them. And again, for clarity, I don't know what happened, true or not. I just think it's dangerous. And this is, as a person who's highly visible, I'm like, this could easily happen to me. If you want, like we're talking about Kat, if you want to believe that about a person, somebody else saying it gives you all the credence to be like, and I knew, and now that's that, and that's what I've been saying. And because Diddy had that whole thing with Cassie, you attach yourself to Diddy. He was in the room with Diddy. Nigga, who of that level of celebrity was it? That doesn't mean you're guilty. And I'm like, just because you were somewhere with, and there was no proof of even that.
Listen,
it was just a person saying he was in there with Diddy.
And it's then trying to make folk who it really has no bearing on their life believe one thing or the other. Like, right. That's the part that I'm just like, for me, when I heard it, I was like, whoa. First I was like, whoa, that's a lot coming. And then I was like, but also, why would this be any of my business? He's not my personal pastor, so I don't have any vested interest in what he's doing with his life.
Yeah.
Two, if it were true, the person who participated didn't say anything. So these would be two adult people based off of what was being said.
Even if it were true.
If it were true. Why do I need to know what's happening in that? And third of all, why is this any of our business? Again, why is this any of our business? Why is this something that, and I'm not saying this because it's TD. It'd be different if, obviously, if this were a case, an actual public court case or something.
Different.
This is just heard. This is what he was doing. And then this is what he likes to do. And this is what, and I was like, but why am I now? Is this something that?
And it dominated the headlines for a good week.
Yeah.
And I was like, nobody, listen, sometimes this is what the internet does a good job of. And I think we forget. Somebody said this on Twitter the other day, and I thought it was so true. It says the internet, the way we live in our world, we don't realize a lot more things are entertainment than are labeled entertainment. Uh-huh. Right? The news, we want to believe, but I don't think this was ever true. The news isn't biased, isn't unbiased. Even the news we consume.
Yeah.
The same way we be like, Fox News says this. Fox News tells Fox News viewers what they want to hear will watch. CNN tells CNN viewers what they want to hear so they will watch. I'm really no better than somebody else. It's just I'm hearing what I want to believe is true, right? That's my echo chamber. That's one thing. The other thing is, like, because I like TD, I'm going to see it one way. If you don't, if you think something else, if you're not churchy, if you didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember when I was a kid, we grew up, we was driving from El Paso to Georgia to visit my dad's family, as we often did. We stopped in Dallas and we walked around the Potter's house. It was like going to Disneyland, like not even the church, just around the parking lot. Uh-huh. I was like, oh my God, this is, mm-hmm. this is where, so obviously what I'm saying is framed from this reference. I also don't want to believe that about TD, but whether I want to believe it or not, doesn't make it true or not. Mm-hmm. Whether it's true or not makes it true or not.
Oh, exactly. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I said the only way for me, I was like, the only way this would have any bearing. I said, if he was one of those preachers that spent a lot of their sermon time preaching homophobic type things.
Yeah.
That would be for me. That would be like, well, dang, you big old hypocrite over mm-hmm, here talking mm-hmm. all this stuff. For me. I don't like when people then he has to choose whether or not he has to put energy behind trying to disprove something to people who it does not affect them. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Yeah, I can understand him having to say something to his congregation, the people who put money into his
for
ministry,
sure,
and they are putting it on whether or not he is an honorable person and not like saying one thing, doing another.
Yeah.
But as far as in like the world at large, I was just kind of like, if this has no substance to it and it's just somebody who's just talking, why? But for me, it was like, because there was no, at least from what I heard, there was no allegations of there being any like assault, any rape, right. anything. It was just, he be at the parties doing a lot of things, right? So with that being said, I was like, sometimes I wonder what the purpose is. Like Cat Williams airing everybody out for him.
Personal grievances.
He was like, I want to vindicate myself.
Yes.
Cassie deciding to do a civil suit against Diddy was, I'm going to get my lick back. I went through some hell with you.
Yes.
You're going to financially.
But that was an accusation. An actual accusation.
From her mouth. From her mouth. Even this whole, when we get to him, Jonathan Majors and his white girlfriend. That was her calling the police, the city of New York, doing all this. It wasn't just some random person behind a tape recorder.
Yes.
That is where I do feel like, now what, come on. Now what are we doing now?
Yeah. And I will also say, as a comedian and a person who finds things funny that are funny, that swallowed up clip was funny. And that was funny when I saw it the first time prior to this. Have you ever been swallowed up? I mean, the first time I saw that, I said, what? I need to watch message. But it was the tunic. It was the swallowed up. Have you ever been swallowed? And I done made fun of Jakes before. Her Lady, Our Love and Our Lord. I done made videos and posted about, yes, she's the lover. And I love to be with you. And we have the praise of the sanctuary of the throne. Like that, as a silly person.
Yes.
For a good 4 days on vacation, you should have been in my hotel room. Have you ever been swallowed? Been through a time of swallowing up? This is swallowed. This is just ridiculous. That swallowed?
Yes.
Now that funny out of context. If I were in the church that I've been silly my whole life. I remember one time me, Jay, and Aunt were at a convention in Houston. When you've been a church kid 30 years, 25 years, you be immune to some stuff.
Oh, 100%.
And if you're a comedic person, boy, I'm talking about Carlton Banks' is the funniest stuff be happening in church.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Me, Jay, and Aunt, we in church with our pastor, who also knows who we were. Pastor was Aunt's dad, is Aunt's dad. Laughing and playing and giggling at good 28 years old, 29, whatever we were.
Time.
This man, a deacon from another church, was in front of us and we played for about an hour and 15. On that hour and 16th minute, he turned on and said, all y'all do is play in church? And we said, all y'all do is play in church? Oh, if I was in there at any time of my life, from 5 to, have you ever been swallowed up? I was eating ice cream. I was looking at the ice cream. Have you ever been swallowed up? Have you ever been through a time of swallow? That was funny. The jokes were joking. Whether it's true or not, I said, boy, once Black Twitter decides to get on one accord about jokes, you
over.
Just might as well let it. If you are the subject.
Yeah, just let the train go.
Let it pass. When Jonathan Majors broke that fight up and he had that hat on, he was like this.
When he was the Newsies.
I said, boy, and that joke never going away.
Oh, he looked like he was in the middle of a musical. He was like, consider yourself at home. Consider yourself part of the furniture. I was really like, this nigga is about to kickball change.
Why would you go?
Don't that what?
Is that a real song?
Yes.
What is that from?
Who cares? Whoever we got, we share. Yes, Oliver. Who cares?
Angel.
What? Whoever we got, we share. Yes. Consider yourselves part of the furniture. Yeah, that's what he looked like with that newsy hat.
Oh my God.
I was ready for a kickball change, pirouette. Yes, that's absolutely yes. But yeah, I feel. Listen, we are at a time in a day. That's where he was at. Kickball change.
I'm hot under this hoodie now because of that.
I am hot. We are at a point in time where people want to see the greats fall.
For sure.
And that doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. And some will fall. Some deserve to fall.
Here's another thing, right? And let's take TD Jakes out of the equation. There is and has been pastors in positions of leadership who have done wrong. And the actual victim has said, this person did me wrong. Mm-hmm. And people was like, don't touch, not my anointed, do my prophet no harm.
Come on and say
and, it. And on top of that, pastors of both sexes have used the way the body of Christ protects their leaders to continue to do harm, and to deflect.
Come on, you preach because the hands is going. Go
to
ahead.
Harm, continue to harm, and to deflect any criticism. Yeah. And if we were able, and we should be able, to accurately, right, say, hey, this person in this position of power did me wrong, and it wasn't always squashed because of who they are. Yeah. Like, it can't be unbelievable that somebody in a position of power who is good at one thing, right? Because a lot of times people believe, this is the thing with Bill Cosby, because they're good at one thing and they do good things, then they're not capable of doing bad things.
Yes,
Bill Cosby could, in the same body, portray a great Black father on TV and a great representation of Black people and hire a lot of Black people and do all those things and be one of the greatest stand-up comedian storytellers, period. And in the same body, do all the other things he's accused of.
Yeah.
We are all good and bad. We're not, none 100% of us are perfect. And there's been leaders who have gone on doing wrong. And even in our homes, in our communities, in our houses, people have been assaulted, molested, raped, and continue to be able to do that because people are like, he ain't never did that. And you need to be in your place and stop talking about him like that. Oh, that is your family. We use these phrases and people continue to get hurt because we absolve people. And people know, if I know how you feel about me, and you're powerful, power begets power. You start moving in that power. Listen, and even me, I'm not talking about a solid stuff, but when people are like, you kept on stage, you cut the line. I'm cutting. And next thing you know, I'm going to tell you what starts happening. After you've been in line and brought to the front so many times, you start walking to the front. And you expect to be greeted and brought in because of who you are. And that's just me not wanting to wait in line at brunch. Imagine if I was trying to do evil. You know what I'm saying? Like, people continue to do that stuff. So that's why I'm saying I don't know him. I'm not saying he's incapable of. I'm saying this seems unfair that a person who's not a victim throws this out and it's taken as true.
Yeah.
But listen, there's been pastors of both color. The Hillsong documentary we talked about.
Hillsong.
Brian Houston, his daddy. In Australia, was harming people for years.
Yes.
And his son built the biggest church on earth behind that. The Catholic Church tormented people for years.
Come on.
And they used that cloak, that little cloak and that sheet and that thing.
Collar is what you were looking
that's
for.
That's it. Collar. And that thing is almost it's immunity.
Yeah.
And these people, the crimes don't go reported.
No.
The victims change their stories. So that's what I'm not saying people can't do wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Again, two things can be true.
100%.
A person can be capable of wrong, but also, a person can make up a story and the world can run with it, and that can also harm a person. That's what I'm saying.
And sometimes those, you're sweating. You want to take off.
Consider it. Once you did that, you can forget about it.
You got on your Lumi? Because if you don't, I'm
so
glad.
I got it right on my balls right now. My balls is dry.
Well,
all I'm doing this on the carriage.
Lumi is sponsoring today's podcast and Kevin's testicles.
Toasted vanilla. Nuts smell like toasted vanilla all day long. That's what my Lumi does. And I be doing it.
Just
to test it out. When I run my 40, I be like, Lumi, how you doing? Lumi be like, ooh, we go four more times. Yeah. Lumi gonna be good on it. Yeah, it is.
What a New Year's resolution that won't have you tangled in an elliptical or eating the world's most depressing salads. Here's one, smelling better naked. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and anywhere else we get odor. No matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it. Make the switch to Lumi, and this year will be all about head-to-toe confidence. No salads required. Special offer. New customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with exclusive code and link. Use code SK at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDor. I'm going to spell it again for you all. LumiDeodorant.com. As you can tell, we like Lumi over here. Kevin loves to talk about all the places he's using it. I love to use it when it's hot underneath these titties because there's sweat that happens, and that can also cause a funk. And I don't want, who wants smelly boobies? That just
don't
sounds,
nobody want no stinking tits.
That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere under your body, on your body. Pits, under boobs, that's what I said. Thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. Clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. With Lumi, the average odor level is 0 out of 10.
Wow.
Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream to deodorant, 2 free products of your choice like a mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer, for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code SK at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code SK.
S-K.
Come on. Yes! I love it.
All right. Let's just stick with the church real quick. William Murphy.
Oh.
Big Murph.
Is he praise what I do?
Erotic. I'm on hypnotic, exotic. I never knew the words until people were like, you can't play that song in the church. I
said, is that from what? Swag Surfing?
Yes.
I did not know that's.
Are you serious? Either.
I don't think I know one word they say except we swag and surf.
That's like the first.
Who cares about lyrics?
I literally, honestly, I didn't. I was like, why are you saying that?
I thought the words were, has had on top of his head. His head on top of his head. His top of his head. His top of his head. And then skip for a pop. His hottie. For potty. And I swag. I'm surfing. That's what I thought the words were.
I'm looking it up because, first of all, we played this every night of the Ball Brothers tour, and I kid you not, I literally do that when you did.
Yeah, because
man, I got that swag, my hat matching my bag. Wow, you know I'm popping tags because man, I got that swag.
That's okay. Uh-huh.
Verse 2, man, I got that swag. Uh-huh. Oh, repeat my hat. Batching my bag. Because you know I'm popping tail. Okay, this because, man, I got that. Okay, so they're going to say that twice. Mm-hmm. I'm on hypnotic, exotic. This polo on my body got a bad girl beside me and her friend right behind me. And I'm swagging, I'm surfing. I'm clean like dish detergent. Uh-huh. On Patron. Yeah, I'm gone. Purple by the zone. Yeah, I'm smoking strong. And you know I'm gone because I'm swagging, I'm surfing. I'm clean like this detergent. B. Lou had a funny joke. After that part happened, he was all cut off. Niggas don't want to do the second part of the song. He laughed every night.
Yeah.
So, if you don't know, that's just really funny to me. There's a whole nother verse.
What'd he say?
What? All kind of verses. You want to hear the second verse?
Yeah.
You want to hear
what he say?
Swagging in the club. You going to see me throwing money up. Catch me with a bad chick and all her friends as fine as her. Drinks, we going to pour them up. Exotic, huh, what we rolling up? Patron, Goose, or Hennessy, they got it. I'm going to drink it up. I'm always wearing polo, nigga. I'm Ralph Lauren mascot. What? Cake on debit. I don't hesitate to cash out. Ha ha. Paint John Stevenson, the black and blue jag out. Pockets on halftime. I'm always bringing bands at. Bands out.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Verse, chorus. Third verse.
Let me hear.
Third verse. When I hit the club, it's like I gotta catch a wave. Boogie board shorty got me surfing on the stage. Perp got me geeked, smoking on that Eddie Bauer. And I'm surfing like Otto because I got that rocket power. That's a cartoon. I got that reference. Go on, Patron, taking shots like a camera. Flat screen shorty, man, I'm surfing like a channel. Paper towel money, man, I'm all about my clout. And I'm screaming cowabunga while you boys wiping out.
So they're mad.
There's more than that. One more verse. Shall we continue?
I am tired. Yeah, go ahead.
Got that polo on my body. He really likes polo.
He likes his Patron, too. Polo and Patron is his stuff.
Got the polo on my body with a Zach Moore swag. Yeah, purple label, man. Go and check the tags. Went and got the shoes, so you know I got the bag. Clean like this detergent with a Tide color swag. Chain swinging hard like a boxer throwing punches. Papa Doe, shorty, all them on my sack lunches. I'm in the party surfing like I'm standing on a wave. Shorty check my dummy like she patty mayonnaise. I'm swagging, I'm surfing. Swag. That nigga like was, I didn't even know they had verses to that song.
They just were like, keep writing. The longer the song.
I mean, this thing has verses on verses.
Listen, they said, keep it going. What, you know, out of all the rap songs they could pick, I feel like that one really brings the community together.
What?
And if you only do the first couple of verses, he's just talking about drinking alcohol, which most of those people do. Including the pastor, I'm sure. So let's not stand
allegedly,
on...
Allegedly.
Let's not stand on ceremony.
Mr. Wayne, let's not stand on ceremony.
I would prefer that than... Ski! If you see me, then you try to see what's up. Ski! Jewelry on your wrist. Fuck it, hold it up. Then I'd be like, no.
She said, let my coochie breathe in one of her songs.
Yeah, she said... No, in one song, she said, I'm trying to get my coochie scratched. I was like...
Scratched?
I was like, is that what they call it nowadays? That's what I call it. Well, no, that's when the hair starts to grow back. Then you're like, I'm trying to get my coochie scratched. It's scratching. But yeah, oh I would God. Prefer.
So the whole discussion, is it wrong or is it right? And he made a whole live. And you know what, Angel? I just scrolled right past it. Let me just tell you something. We in our big fours. All right.
Big fours.
I come from an age, and I'm going to go old boomer on y'all.
Come on.
I come from an age where now it's going to be layered, this thought process, because this is just my life. I can only see through my eyes. Mm-hmm. I come from an age where we talked about this. You couldn't even touch the pulpit if you weren't ordained.
Could not.
Church over, you can't. We can't even cut through the pulpit to get to the back of church.
You couldn't get through it if you weren't ordained with a penis in some churches.
Listen.
That high. Had been to continue.
You better walk around.
Come on.
Right? I come from a church era where they was mad at Kirk Franklin because he was making that hip hop and gospel is sad. Mm-hmm. And he over there sounding the hip hop.
Yeah.
I come from an era in the church where they was mad at Mary because they didn't say Jesus specifically in shackles.
You could be talking about anybody.
I come from an era where you don't make jokes. And when we was making jokes, they got up and walked out of our set.
Because God is not to be mocked.
Because ain't nothing funny. Mm-hmm. God is not to be mocked. Y'all over here giggling and sniggling on the... You see what the lady in the van said to me?
She said, you're a clown.
You're a Christian clown.
I've been like, Thank you.
And you're going to hell.
No, is that a club?
Sniggling and giggling?
Sniggling.
The time is near. Let me tell you what. If that was happening, it's so interesting how many lives you lead if you don't die. Because so many things happen if you keep living.
Yeah.
Depending on where I was in my life, is going to frame how I would respond to this.
100%.
I'd say from 1983 when I was born till probably about 2000, right? Mm-hmm. I think I started comedy the first time I told a joke on stage in a church. I was 16, so that was, what, 99?
Mm-hmm.
Had this played in here, I would have lost my mind in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
After Clayton and Earl, it's about 02 to 07, I would have lost my mind in a negative way. I couldn't believe it. I probably would have lost my mind every time of my whole life. I can't think of a time where if they played this in the church during the sanctuary, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been like, oh my God. I know y'all ain't playing this in the church. Not in
and
this
right
sacred
now in your big fours?
If I was in church, even watch night, even in Atlanta, I probably would be like, this is not right. This is not right.
Then you get whether it to your car.
I'll just be like, this is so wrong. This is
y'all shouldn't
is
be doing
so
this. Y'all
wrong.
Should not be doing
oh
this.
Oh my God. Come here. Get on my arm.
Come on.
I can't, are we going to talk about this on the podcast?
Yeah, this is terrible that they're doing this.
If I was there, I said, I can't wait to show the world. This is what's wrong with the church, and this is why I stopped going. Because they do anything now, and there ain't no, what's sacred? Nothing. And look at the pastor.
No, a pastor up here.
Pastor body up there
rolling.
Swagging
that's
and
not
surfing.
Even swag surfing. He body rolling. No.
Look at the, I can't think of any time where I would have been like, because listen, I play around, I joke around. There's still, believe it or not, some things I still find sacred.
Really?
So.
I don't believe it.
Certain really? Songs, you know I don't think I, if I were the youth, and I'm as a youth leader. Look, I preached rap songs to my kids.
Wait a minute, so the vibrator wouldn't get you riled up, but swag no. surfing would?
No, because that's just good preaching. And I like visual aids. The vibrator, vibrators! The guy holding it, he's not using it.
He turned it on, though.
He turned it on?
Yes, he said, oh, this is real.
I don't claim to be right. I'm just telling you that I visual aids me up. I told you, and I'll tell you again, there's hardly anything you can do wrong when it comes to visual aids. If he would have read the lyrics, I would have been like, oh, this is fine. Mm-hmm. But playing it, I think I would have been like, this
oh,
is not
yeah.
right.
I think probably this by is... the age of 18, I was just like, well, all these niggas is human.
Oh, I don't believe.
But that took away from all of the pomp and circumstance for me.
What, finding out people were human?
Yes, realizing you niggas is human. So it became a thing of, okay, hopefully you're trying to do the best by your people.
Yeah, that's it.
If your intention, while sometimes I'll be like, some people be pretending as if, no, this was really from what the Lord gave me. And I'm like, no, that was for a good social media clip.
Yeah.
And if you just put, if you go ahead and just be honest about that, then I'm cool. I'm also Gucci with that.
Yeah.
So no, I think while it might not be my preference of something, if I can believe that your heart was honestly pure in, I'm playing this song because I think it would be a great way. I know everybody in this church didn't swag surf before. Nobody in when they are swag surfing, I think, in general of our age group is thinking about actually being on Patron in the zone.
We didn't even know they said that.
Exactly. They are. It's just like, this is something we all know. It's kind of like the way the lecture slide used to be. No telling what, if we looked at those lyrics, what the heck it would
be. You know what it's about?
Is it about a vibrator too?
I heard it was.
I heard about that. I heard it too.
It's electric. Boogie woogie.
Not to say that lyrics aren't important, but I would have leaned to the judgment of, your intention was to have us do something really fun at the end of service for New Year's, and this is something that everybody, as soon as they hear it, they know exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. And so I think one thing that's happened, here's where I think the internet, I don't know how to say this. I'll just say my thought. Maybe I'll be able to pick up what I'm saying later. There's so many things in my life that I've seen in church that you wouldn't believe if you didn't see them, right? But what happened is prior to the internet, you could do stuff for your church because you knew your church.
Yeah.
What happens is because everybody, for the most part, has or a good amount of people, somebody in any crowd at a church has a recording device that they can take and record what's happening and post it on the internet with or without context. What was meant for the crowd you were speaking to now becomes available to dissect to the crowd at large.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's where a lot of times you want to preach, you want to reach the world. So you're going to use the internet, but as you're using the internet, it's not always going to be what you intended. Mm-hmm. So I think the pastor of the church thinks I'm sure what you said, that this is going to be great. This is blah, blah. My church ain't going to trip. I'm sure somebody in the church was like, this is wrong. But for the majority of my church, there's nothing that a pastor can say or do, even outside of the song, that everybody in the body agrees with.
Yeah.
Like, I remember sending messages and be like, this is crazy. I'm not listening to this at all. Or he doesn't understand how this works or whatever like that. So that's beside the point. But I think the internet opens you up to be like, this is wrong, this is right. And that's what happens. I don't think a lot of times people are prepared for the blowback of what was for their church, even though oftentimes the church is the one recording it and broadcasting. You don't need nobody in there. People can pull whatever they want and assign their thoughts and beliefs to that action. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's how you get all those things. And the bottom line, honestly, what I truly feel, I don't know if there's anything that's universally right or wrong. Because what I was doing in the church, doing comedy, there was a good amount of people who didn't think that was right. In the church, the videos about the church, speaking in tongues, playing around with that, there's a lot of people that you should not do that. You shouldn't be playing with you playing with God. Like, part of me is just like, no matter what you do, there's going to be people who disagree, agree, and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I think everything, once it's available for public consumption, it's available for public opinion, and you say your opinion, you keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think also, and as we move into this Jonathan Majors thing, here's what I think gets lost in the internet. I believe you can be a fan of somebody and also recognize when they have hurt you or disappointed you. Because you're married. Josh, you're in a committed relationship. I'm married.
Amen.
People, Josh like Steve Kerr, man. You kick that rock out, he gonna knock down that three. He might only get 6 points one game, 18 the next. But you kick it to him, he's always ready.
Yeah, always.
The people we love who are important to us still hurt us and still disappoint us.
100.
If you're doing life with somebody, and as friends, I've hurt Angel and Josh. They've hurt me time and time again.
I'm going to hurt them again today.
We've upset each other.
wait till we turn this camera's off.
Yeah. And I think the internet makes us feel like because somebody has done something, you have to either be loved wholly or discarded wholly.
Yeah.
And also what the truth is, I could be like, Angel, actually, when you said that kind of hurt my feelings. And she could be like, oh, that was not my intention. I apologize. Vice versa. I could say, you know, Josh, you and Angel, when y'all got me in trouble in New Orleans, you guys, you know what? You were right. I didn't see that in myself. I want to be better. It ain't like, oh, Kevin, you did this to me. I'll never see you again.
You got yourself in trouble.
Yeah, I was going to say,
No, y'all got me in trouble. Yeah. But the point is, I think the internet, you either are 100% perfection or you're wrong. I was telling my son this the other day. He plays really good soccer, really good. But he gets hard on himself, right? Mm-hmm. And if he makes a bad play, he colors his whole game as bad, right? Uh-huh. And, you know, so yesterday we're like, how'd you feel like you played? He was like, I was trash. I was just trash. And that's like the third or fourth game he said that in a row. So I told him this. I said, because he had a shot on goal that he did not take. And he passed to somebody else and that person scored a goal. And I was like, you should have shot that, right? You should be selfish sometimes. Make the right play, but sometimes you can shoot too. What I told him is this. I said, in that game, and we watched the whole game, you probably had 50 interactions with the ball. All right. Of those 50 interactions with the ball, probably six were mid to poor, right? Mm-hmm. He lost the ball sometimes. He fouled. He kicked the ball out. His pass got stolen, whatever, right? But the other 44 interactions were great. Perfect passes, breaking up play, whatever. Good headers, all that stuff. I said, you can't color your whole thing bad because of six bad plays out of 50. Mm-hmm. When Kobe went for 81 points or Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points or you score for, you know, throw for 400 yards, it doesn't mean you complete every pass. Doesn't mean you make every shot. You just had an overall good thing. And I think that's what we try to do with people. Like, we want to build them up to be perfect. And then we want to pick every flaw about them and tear them down. That's what happened to Keith. That's what happened to every star. And
Michael Jordan missed hella game winners.
Hella shots, period. Kobe has like leads the league in missed shots, I believe.
Oh, man, rest in peace, man.
Rest in peace. Love Kobe. He's somewhere.
Yeah, you took him down, bro. Sorry.
Number eight. Oh, okay. Right? But I don't think anything is black or white. It's all stuff. Be gray.
I'm
a great person. I'm a nice person. I'm a kind person. And I don't want to do meet and greets.
And that makes sense.
I'm also
terrible.
Not a kind person or nice. I'm just funny. I'm not the nicest all the time. People have their hearts. If you knew me personally, if you spent time with me when these cameras are off, just be honest, right? Before we shot this, Angel was doing something, and she was like, these doggone, this is frustrating me. And I was frustrated with somebody when Josh said, mics are hot, camera's on. The internet. When they turn off, you're like, all right, Josh, what time is lunch? Blah, blah, blah. I hate this stuff. I'm going to punch somebody. It ain't that bad. But you see, the point remains.
So what I was going to say.
It's big Taurus. I'm a Taurus rising and a moon shining. I don't know the other stuff.
Moonshine. You know, I do feel, I don't know if we're just, we're clinging on to, as a people, wanting to not feel, I don't know. It's like, it's this thing of wanting to feel right and wanting to be able to, like, assign value to other people that really, again, I'd be like, what do they have to do with you? And I don't know if, I feel like we're in that era now more than ever of wanting to be able to assign the value or the judgment on someone else's deeds or actions.
Yes, I agree.
More so now than any other time. And
I think it's because we have access to so much more information.
I know, but I because I really don't be caring, it does baffle me when people, it seems as if people are invested into something that, like, does not actually serve their life.
Yes.
And I think, and that might be what it is. I think it might be because I have so many goals for myself and my family. It's more difficult for me to get too caught up into someone else's, especially if it's not a part of my career plan at all.
For sure.
Like, if Mel did not do her, I'm not a lawyer, but I would not know about most of these, like the more detailed parts.
You actually
of these.
Be at home being a wife and a mother.
Kevin be like, Angel, I texted this 30 minutes ago.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I put my phone down. Yeah, put it down. And I don't care about what you have to say
to
me.
They're raising children and, yes. and loving a husband and
all
washing clothes.
Yes.
Did you see what's on the internet? Angel put the internet down.
The way down.
That's big four energy.
Listen, we got Hootsuite. It's so expensive. But it done got me so excited because I will put all my content up at the top of the week. And when I tell you, I'll be like, I ain't got to go on Instagram. It's already up. That is amazing. So I don't know.
Charlie up there.
I don't know if I don't know what's going on in everybody else's life. And this is, and honestly, and I'm not trying to put judgment on people who do get invested, because it might be that it is a trigger for you that makes you want to be like, no, like you could have been at a church where a pastor was doing things that made you feel like they really didn't take the Lord seriously. So when you see people do things that seems off color when it comes to church, it gives you a more visceral reaction than it does me, because I began to really not revere ministers in any type of form at a very young age.
I'm gonna tell you what, I don't know if I would say it as bold as clearly as that, but I would say I revered everybody in my life in the church. I thought everybody was 100% Scott saved, never make a mistake. And as I got older, I realized that was a lie. Mm-hmm. That started coloring how. And once I worked in the church and I saw how the church people also be tripping, not just the leaders, the people put the leaders in impossible situations.
Yeah.
Expect the impossible of these people. Yeah. I'm not talking about mega church. I'm talking about people who is on military retirement. Yeah. You want them to come to the child's school and pray for them because their stomach hurts. These are not jokes.
Yeah.
I'm leaving the church because you didn't come to my son. He was literally, he had a stomach ache. And as the pastor, you're supposed to come to the school and pray for him. Are you dumb? I mean that with love. Are you dumb?
Yes.
Do you think that man has to drive to your child's school to pray for your child at school? Your prayers don't get through?
Well, because that's a cycle that we put ourselves in. If you make this person seem like they're closer to God, then yes, I want the closest nigga to God, get over here and help my baby.
Lord.
But it's not, when I say I don't revere them,
no,
it's
yeah.
not that I don't respect them.
I get that. Different word. I understood it.
Yes, but once I started letting that part go, for me, a lot of things that happen inside of the church, I'll call the BS, but it doesn't get me like riled up. I just be like, that's BS. But also, yeah, it's a person. And we as people, regardless of how close we are trying to walk with God, we are going to stumble.
Yes.
And we're going to do some BS stuff. And for me, I'm like, okay, well, grace.
Grace.
There we go.
Grace. Well,
hopefully you'll change it up.
Before we leave, we got to talk about friend of the pod, Jonathan Majors.
Mm. Please, I've been waiting.
He had an interview on Good Morning America, I believe. ABC News exclusive. Angel, please, your thoughts first.
She is an angel. She held me down like a Coretta. This is what I want to say, because I am still a fan of Jonathan Majors, the actor. I still do not know him personally as Jonathan Majors, the person. Mm-hmm. But I do not want to hear him mention Coretta Scott King ever again.
I want to be Pinky from Friday. Say Coretta one more time.
And let me tell
one
you
more
why.
Time.
Let me tell you why. The reason why is because that then keeps aligning you with my daddy, Martin Luther King. Okay.
I forgot he was your dad.
That's my daddy. Birthday
that's
coming
your
up.
Daddy.
And that, I'm sorry, is no longer your trajectory. You are not on the Coretta. You're not on the Martin Luther King or the Obama. That I need you to be like, he held me down like Keisha, and he Gucci Mane. That feels real, like a good comparison. She held me down like Tiny, and I'm T.I. These are
your Corettas.
These are yours, okay? And I love T.I., okay? He made great music. Gucci Mane, those are people that you can still be proud to be aligned with. Men who also will have served time, which you might also have to do, and had women that said, I will hold you down. But what we're not going to now do, you done lost Kang, okay? I need you to humble yourself and stop. Because when you say Coretta, that makes you.
Who's that make you?
That makes you my daddy. And I can tell you, my daddy, listen, my daddy might have did some things, but he also did some things.
I love how black speak is a tonal language.
Okay.
He might have did some things, but he did
also
some
did
things.
Some things.
All right.
And you ain't, and you did.
He had a scheme, but he also had a dream.
Yes.
He did some stuff wrong, but did some stuff right.
He did a lot of things right.
Yeah.
And we haven't, you have not come in. This is not, you ain't done enough over here. That's all I'm saying. That's the only thing.
You ain't done enough. And first of all, let me with love, if we were friends, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and we were the best of pals, I would just say, mm-hmm, let me tell you what my first problem with the Coretta thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that, mm-hmm, I think this is a key mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Telling the white woman to be Coretta. She is white. Coretta, a key part of her, she was a black woman. Mm-hmm. You is asking Amy
from State
to
Farm
be Coretta. That girl don't got no bonnet.
But then who is he? Who he gonna talk about? Who's the comparison then, Kevin?
Julia Roberts and Aaron Brockovich. She was fighting for justice.
He wants real people. Give me. He can't do actors. They're both actors. Give him real people. Who and who?
Who could be his career? Who could he make the white girl be?
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin, he was backed into a corner. He had no one.
Does she have to be with a black man?
Yes.
One of them niggas' moms whose son is in the NBA. One of them Jalen's moms.
They didn't make any sacrifice, because that's what he was like. I wanted her to make the same sacrifice I was making. And she was like, but Jaeger bombs. You can't.
You got a girl who is almost certainly searching for a Stanley tumbler. You want her to be Coretta? This girl's in line at Target.
I just
trying to get the new tumbler drop.
Yeah, there is certain. Listen, that I do think he was asking the wrong woman, but it wasn't her color that made me go, she was the wrong woman.
It's a start. It's absolutely a key. Girl,
yeah.
If you're First, this is me, Kevin. No disrespect. Uh-huh. I could not be in a relationship with somebody who I have. Do you know who Coretta is? No. We got to go. If that's not a person you can readily identify, God bless you. I got to go.
If she would have had the I'm with a nigga haircut, white woman haircut, then I would be like, I get it. If she had that asymmetric, that
she had Robert.
No, if she didn't have if she didn't have a full Robert with the highlights, she's not that chick. She's not that girl. She had the regular I go to yoga.
Yes.
Hair.
Pilates.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah.
Tom's.
I need French tip.
Lululemon.
I need French tip. The Robert, right? Okay. And she needed to already have a child named Jalen. Then.
Got to have a Jalen.
If she don't have a Jalen or a Kayla, she's not really there.
Or a Nevaeh. You got to spell that heaven backwards and switch it up on him.
Then I would say, okay, I get what he's saying, and I do think she would hold you down.
Yes, somebody in Patreon said messy hair, iced coffee vibes. I need her shaking that. That girl, white, which is fine. Love what you love, and I don't mean you can't date white women if that's what you want to do, but you can't expect them to be. He didn't even pick a regular black woman. He picked iconic black woman.
The best of the best.
And did you hear this? You know, they said your daddy, when he did the extramarital affairs, it was with a white woman.
I can't believe it. That's what niggas do when they get famous.
He was trying to bridge the gap, man.
He said, I had a dream, nigga, I told you.
To fill the gap. This is what I'm saying, is that when they get famous, that's what they
Kanye
be like.
Kanye tried to tell us.
Because he's trying to show us.
Leave your butt
about?
For a white girl.
And what is it? Well, yeah, he did.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All legend.
Listen, we're not going to talk about my daddy. What I'm trying to say.
We're not
going to
talk because he did some things.
But he did some things.
Okay. And we ain't perfect. We done said it.
No.
Now, here's another thing about it. Now, well, actually, you continue because I jumped in with you.
I just don't get, it just feels like way off. That would be like me being with a man who was like 4 feet and being like, I need you to be my fullback. I need you to be the knight in shining armor that when somebody, like, you see what you got.
Yes.
So you need to know, I'm just saying, you should have checked her Carfax report.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this was never going to be, regardless of her race, she was never going to be either of those women.
She don't know who you're talking about. That's the first part about it. She doesn't know who you're talking about.
I just doesn't. And he should know this is where he messed up. The common factor of these two great black men that you had mentioned is that black woman. And they were not in the shadows. They weren't. Let me tell you, we love Barack, but if Michelle walk into the room, move out the way
so
we can see
Essence
her.
Fest.
Yes.
Alone.
Yes.
Headlined a music fest, concerts, and then Michelle came out and talked, and it was the Superdome was packed.
Cause she's Michelle. This is what I'm saying. This is you ain't got that. We don't know that woman.
Nico Wilson just typed fried chicken.
That's what you compare it to. Cause that's what you have.
You got Patrick Mahomes' wife.
You got the woman who forgot that you like tacos. And just assumed you like fried chicken. That's your favorite cheat meal.
That is egregious.
Fried chicken!
Listen, and I don't question if that woman doesn't love that man, but that's going to be her default.
You never did. Tacos? You don't,
You don't look like a taco type of guy.
Now, two things can be true. One thing he said in the interview, and I said for sure, I don't know if it would have been that bad, but it would have been bad. He said, reverse that tape. And you have a black man chasing a white woman in the streets of New York, crying and screaming. He would get shot dead. I said, and show you're right.
But you knew that before you dated her.
Listen, man.
These are things that we know. We're not, he's not the first black man to date a white woman.
Won't be the last. And I feel like it might happen again.
Yeah, I think it will. So these are the things that you take into consideration. Well, hopefully you know you're not in a domestically violent situation regardless, but you understand in America, if you say I would love to date outside of my race, especially if you are a black person dating a white person, that there are certain racial tensions and stereotypes that you all have to be more acutely aware of.
Let me tell you what. You're right about it.
Okay. Okay.
You got to understand that regardless of how you see yourself, there's a way this country sees y'all. And it's ingrained into the fabric, into the DNA, coded. We can't escape it if we tried. We are born into a country that was built on racism, capitalism.
Come on.
We broke apart from Britain that was built on racism, capitalism, and colonialism to only do what they did worse.
Yeah, we said, supersize me.
Y'all thought y'all did some stuff. We taking it up. Even the British are like, now we racist, but we're quiet about it. America's like, we're going to be loud.
Yeah, we're going to be
Britain people
loud.
Be like, it's just as racist. They just ain't, it's hidden. America be like, nigger boy.
They just do it with tea. Nigger. yummy. Yeah, they do it with a little cookie.
Got a little bit of a nigger in it.
Little bit of a nigger. That's the difference. Listen, I don't know if he did it just for the video, his interview to go viral, because I was just like, why you say the Coretta, sir?
Stop and he giggled, man.
He giggled. She was a Coretta.
He's a great actor.
I was like,
John. And Megan Good was there. You got to start with Megan, baby. I know she with Devon Franklin. Mm-hmm. Loretta Devine. I don't know if she's married.
John, let me tell you.
How about Loretta?
She's into going away to the 70s, but okay.
But she can make them hams.
Let me tell you, that black man, if he had wanted a black woman, could have been with a black woman at the time. So this ain't got nothing to do with the fact that he was with a white woman. That was his choice. It was y'all wanna play stupid games together, and then stupid prizes are won, and then you keep bringing up my daddy and his wife.
I don't know if it's even possible to get back to where he was, but it's gonna be hard.
They gave
him the keys.
He was the next. They were like, after our beloved Chad passed, they were like, well, who's gonna be next? And he was right there because Michael, he's more commercial, but he's doing great. Okay. Mm-hmm. He said, give me this Rocky franchise, I'm fine. He would have definitely been our next superstar. His career is still going to be fine. It just ain't going to be what.
It's going to take some time to build.
It'll be around like he'll be where Megan was. He's going to be in black films, in more black films, and you can make a lucrative career off of that. But that the white money that he was about to bring
Disney,
you're not going to get that.
All right, we got to go. I got this cool thing in Mexico.
It is gorgeous. I've been staring at it the whole time.
It is. They sold it to me. We was at the Chichen Itza, and they said, almost free. It wasn't close to almost free.
No.
And I just love it. And this is a Chichen Itza thing, too. But it was so cool. I had to add it. If you watch this podcast from the jump.
Sugar skulls are beautiful, man.
Is that what it's called, a sugar skull?
You could see the growth of our life. This is when Angel Reese was popping. I was into The Mandalorian. Like, you could see we wrote the book. Like, it's all there. I went to Tacoma and got this. Mm-hmm. There's years. If you followed along, friend of the pod.
We've been doing this for years.
This is going to be we started this in 2020. This is going to be our fourth calendar year that we have done this podcast in. And we should have been on tour.
You guys, thank y'all so much for watching this show. We will see y'all on tour. Y'all don't prove me wrong. Prove me right.
Toronto and Tacoma, you better get it together.
Why are you walking like you got on heels? Y'all be blessed. We'll see y'all for the bonus Patreon. Bye.
Goodbye. There's another thing of fire. There's another one. Here's another bang of fire. Here's another bang of fire. With my boy Kev on stage. And that chick Angel.